Delsing spent 25 years on the PGA Tour and is a lifetime member of the PGA Tour and PGA of America. Now he provides his unique perspective as a golfer and network broadcaster. It's time to go On the Range with Jay Delsing.
On the Range is brought to you by 20 Minutes to Fitness.
Good morning. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay. Happy New Year, St. Louis. Pearly, Happy New Year to you. And New Year's resolutions, 2020. They're a little scary for golf resolutions. I'm not sure if I've ever even done anything like this before.
I really haven't either. I think it's been really fun to put this show together. Meet, Happy New Year to you. Thank you so much for joining us again for another year. We formatted the show just like Around the Golf. The first segment is called the On the Range segment. Our social media outlets, Twitter is at Jay Delsing. Facebook is Golf with Jay Delsing and Jay Delsing Golf. LinkedIn is Jay Delsing, and Instagram will remain a complete mystery for 2020, just like it was for 2019.
Consistency.
All right, so Pearly, New Year's resolutions are made and broken more than...
So this is our practice range New Year's resolution.
Right.
I got one.
Let's go.
No three putts this year.
Love it.
I mean,
folks, if you can sit down and just quickly peruse about the last 10 or 15 games that you had playing golf and you could eliminate your three putts, how much lower would your score be and how much better would your handicap be?
Absolutely. And that's something we want to tackle. That's absolutely key. And to be legit, though, is let's have three things we're going to resolve to do to give us the best chance not to have three putts.
Absolutely. Okay.
We're not going to not three putt
no,
this year.
It's going to happen.
Nobody's going
right.
to do that.
All right.
So,
nobody
Jay,
is.
So, Jay, what are three things that a person can do and commit to all year to help that?
Number one.
Yep.
You get to the golf course, you have got to give yourself at least 15 minutes of time on that putting green with your putter. Feeling the speed of the greens for that day. It changes every day. Absolutely have to get that putter in your hand and stroke some putts. No doubt about it.
Okay. What's next?
So number two is we have got to get committed to what you're trying to do with each and every putt. John, I cannot express how important it is to putt to make a putt instead of to not miss.
So get committed on each putt.
Putt to make this putt, this very putt. Quit thinking about, I don't want to not hit it too hard because it might go 5 feet by. Each and every putt you putt to make, not to not miss. Gigantic difference. Huge difference.
So stay focused on that. Putt to make each putt. And number three.
You got to relax. You got to be as relaxed with those hands and soft with those hands as you possibly can, because it will give you so much more feel.
Relaxed over each putt. Okay. So that's our three pieces. So let's have a little reminiscing. Good time of year to do a little reminiscing. Back in the day, running around the world with you, how did you do on some of these things? I'm trying to remember some of the
stories. Oh, it just depends on the day.
15 minutes. So let's see. What was that one qualifier that we were running to the first tee on?
It was a U.S. Open qualifier, and we
didn't have 15 minutes to putt on that day, did we?
No, we didn't. We ran to the tee because we were almost living one of your nightmares.
Yeah, that's right. I think I lost a golf bag or something.
Yeah, right.
You went in to go do something.
Yeah,
and I was going
to the shop to see if they had an extra yardage book or something, and they had skipped a tee time, and we were suddenly on the tee, and I looked over at you, and unfortunately, I was the first up. And so I literally ran from the golf. I could tell by the tone of your voice, there was some panic in there. And I ran to the tee with, about 10 seconds to spare?
Yeah, it was close. It was very close. And then it was some funky downhill iron thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Which we hit driver instead of the iron. It was fine.
You know, sometimes I think, too, maybe overdid it sometimes, too.
I think
one of the things that's a good advice that you've given on the 15 minutes, you don't need an hour.
You do not need an hour.
And if there's other times you want to do some of that, but before you're playing, part of what one of your three tips is to get in a routine before you play of this 15 minutes.
Here's the other thing. Don't go to the golf course without a plan. We're going to talk about this in each one of our New Year's resolutions for the golf. But and the plan is 15 minutes, yep. not 30, and not two.
Yep.
Go there with a plan because it's just going to relax you. And the fact that you've got a plan, I mean, have you ever gone to the golf course and spent 15 minutes practicing your putting before you got out
no,
there?
No, that's what I was going to ask you. So I go and I'm straight to the driving range, maybe 10, 15 minutes, and I'm going to go through my driver. I'll start with a couple irons, go through my driver, but I don't even think about the putting.
Yep.
It's not even a thought.
Nope. How do you putt?
I'm okay. Depending on the day, right. sometimes it's right. part of my best. It's the best part of my game. But yeah,
there's very few lost balls on the putting green.
Right, right.
I mean, let's
right.
get down to it.
Right, right. It doesn't cost me any money.
So, so that's a big deal too. So that you're talking about part of the routine. So these three things that you've given: 15 minutes of practice, have the mindset to make it, and really be relaxed over it.
Right. So I'm going to tell you this. So when I played our best, we had all of these things, and we didn't vary off of these things
Absolutely
much.
Not.
Our routine in the mornings was so similar, and it was, you know, it one of the things that we did too on the range, Pearl, that is kind of a footnote to this sort of stuff, is just get loose. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go to the range looking for a swing. Just get your muscles loose. Hit some shots. If you hit one kind of funky, so what?
You're not looking after results. That's the wrong place to look after
and
results.
And you're not looking to, like, rebuild your swing in 5 minutes before you go play. It's like you know how to play the game, relax a little bit, and then go play.
So when we talk about getting really committed, really thinking to make each one, I'm trying to remember some of the times out there with you two trying to make it. I remember you going through tour school, or it may have been like Nationwide the 1 year, and you're coming down the stretch and making birdies all over the place, and you got on one par five, and you had about a 8-footer. And we read it left edge.
Yep.
You stepped away. You stepped away. And he looked, turned around and he says, Burley, I can't make this
putt. I'm not kidding you. I mean, I stood up and looked at Johnny, and you came over and go, hey, because I've got a very kind of quicker routine mm-hmm. that I repeat every single time. I just couldn't get it in my mind that I was going to make this putt.
But that was great, though, to step back because you had the mindset of you literally couldn't get it into your mind that you could make that putt.
And guess what? I made it.
Absolutely, you made it.
It didn't feel good. Everything was shaking. I'm like, is that ball going in? But yeah.
It was just, I remember we just kind of mentioned, hey, what's the routine here? What are you looking at here? This is left edge. Get up there, roll that thing in towards the left edge and go from there. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you've mentioned a couple times doing these three different things is going to help with that overall relaxation, overall kind of getting that mindset, overall being in that zone, if you will. I mean, the reason people get into zones is because there's a zone that they've mapped out to get to. And that helps you out an awful lot with it.
Well, and John, the plan. A plan, something that you can rely on. Here's what are you going to do when you get to the golf course? I know exactly what I'm going to do. The first thing that I do is go to the putting green and spend 15 minutes before I went to the range. And then we go to the range and we did our same thing every day. And there would be some slight variations depending on altitude sometimes. And, you know, when we'd be mm-hmm. in Reno or in Denver, it was a little odd. But for the most part, it was kind of like on our watch. We were there. We hit our time. Yep. Off we went, and it worked.
So number three you've got here, relax over each putt. You know, this is a bit of a fine line. I've actually been studying some of this type of stuff relative to how hard do you try. You got to try a certain amount because, I mean, you have to, like, stand up and have a putter in your hand. But trying too hard and not trying hard enough is almost just as bad. And I heard somebody – Golf Channel or someplace the other day talking about this too. Actually, it was Mike Weir talking about on a scale of 1 to 10 how he wanted to be kind of in this 5, 6, 7 range. Don't try too hard, But he couldn't just be all loosey-goosey and that thing waving all over the place. That's not going to work when you get playing the greens you guys did or just for anybody. So finding that relaxed for you, can you talk about that?
Yeah, no, I mean, it has to go, it has to be and match your personality. You know, there are some guys like John Daly, he's just up there and that putter is waving all over the place. It absolutely is. And he has no sense for where it is other than the feel that he has that day. But then you get to a guy like Mark O'Meara, for example. Mark was very meticulous about what he did every single day.
Tiger?
And Tiger's the same way.
How about Faxon, though? You and Faxon were good buddies, and he's kind of been known as maybe after Crenshaw, one of the next kind of
great putter.
Just putting kings, and it was an awful lot of feel, and it was an awful lot of seeing the ball go in the hole.
And it was very loose. He was very movie. He had a lot of movement going on in there, but Fax is an athlete, and he's trying to shoot that ball in the hole with his putter, and I think it's it shows. And I again, we've got to match up to your personality. But if you have one of those personalities that wants to control everything, we've got to get you to not squeeze that putter too tight, and we've really got you to loosen those muscles up to give you a sense of feel.
One putter's coming back to haunt me. It was the first hole you played at
Damn, I was hoping it was a putt you hit, not me.
in Milwaukee, the GMO. Milwaukee. Got up the first hole, and he hit it right down the middle, hit this pretty second shot, a little bit short, you know, pin about 25 feet. You got up there and hit that first putt. You were so pumped up to play, hit that first putt about 12, 14 feet past the hole.
I don't remember that. I wonder why I don't remember that.
And I think you made the one coming back. So,
did I? Okay. Well, good.
It's how do you plug into those different pieces?
Okay, so this is a perfect time to give you guys some drills on helping you not three putt. And of all the components in this segment, the putting can help lower your score the most. Okay, so let's break it down into short putts and to long putts. All right, so here's a drill that I worked on all the time when I played on tour, and I still work on it today for my long putts. I'll get somewhere between 20, 30, 40 feet from the hole. The putts don't have to be straight. They can be breaking. They can be uphill and downhill. In fact, choose a variety of putts, left to right breaking putts, right to left breaking putts, uphill and downhill. Go through your pre-shot routine, and right before you're going to hit this putt, close your eyes. Okay, now this is going to completely freak you out. It's going to blow your mind. You're going to go, what? But here's what this does and why it's so effective. Because all you have left is the feel of that putter hitting the ball. And you want that to reflect back to your senses. And you can keep your eyes closed, hit this putt, and then give it about 15 or 20 seconds, and then judge what happened by the feel that you got back. Oh, I pulled that putt and I hit it a little too hard. Or it's a little short and it's a little right. And then open your eyes and go, oh, man, that didn't match up at all. You want to do this. What it does is it takes away all of your conscious thoughts about what you're trying to do. This just lets you plug into feel, and putting is the most important part of this thing. There's so many ways to make putts. You have to pick out a line and match that up with the feel to match that line to get that ball in the hole. Okay, second of all, and this is really important, is short putting. And I am talking about 4 feet on end. If your handicap is below a 10, I'll go ahead and say 5 feet on end. But you want to get 4 balls and put them in various spots around the hole so that you have, let's say, it's a flat putt, and it's a flat area on the green, and you're going to have your balls around this hole. So I want you to go through your routine with each one of these putts and start at 3 feet and knock them in. Actually, let's do this for your confidence. Let's start at 2 feet and knock those 4 putts in. And once you make the 4 putts in a row, then back them out to 3 feet. and make all four of those putts from 3 feet in a row. And then once you make those 3 footers in a row, then you go and get that, go to the 4 footer. And here's what's great about this, folks. First of all, these are putts that you can handle and that you're going to expect to make. Second of all, you will find there's pressure added here because after you make those 2 footers and then you make the 3 footers, when you get to the 4 footers, if you knock the first 3 in, that last 4 footer means I've got to knock this in or else I got to start all the way over. That's a component I forgot to mention, Meat. If you miss, you got to start all the way over. So you make the first round of 2 footers, you go to the 3 footers, you make all those 3 footers, you go to the 4 footers. At any point in time, you miss, you got to start over. And this sounds really, really easy until you miss a couple times. And then you start getting a little frustrated, and you start feeling a little more anxious or a little pressure. That's why this drill is spectacular. The other thing that I'll tell you, almost every single guy on the PGA Tour works on this drill. And one of the things that PGA Tour players practice is putting themselves in situations where there's stress. And no, this isn't the stress of knocking in a putt to win a tournament, but it is still stress. Once you finish and knock those 4 footers in, then you get to go move on to the next part of practice and the next part of your game. The other thing why this works out so well is this: put this in and make a plan for when you get to the golf course. You're going to rely on it. You won't believe how much better your short putting is. And here's the last tip on these short putts. Line the seal, whether you use a Titleist or a TaylorMade, whatever ball you use, there will be a straight line print on the side of your ball. Line that up. Like we said with these putts, these are going to be straight putts. Take that seal of that ball and line it to the middle of the hole. And then when you stand over your putter, I'd say 98% of all putters made either have a line or a dot or something for you to use to help you figure out where you're aiming. You aim that line on your putter and match it up with the seal on where you have that ball lined up and roll that thing in the hole. Those tips will help you not 3-putt in 2020.
So that's that New Year's resolution for the practice range is no more 3-putting, and we've got those 3 ideas for you to take there. 15 minutes of practice, putt to make it, and relax over that darn putt.
And here's the thing that's so challenging. You're going to stand up there and try and crash a drive 350 yards like we were trying to do, and you're going to hit an iron shot with some touch and some shape to it, and then you're going to try to finish this thing off with a super touch-related motion by putting the ball into a 4-plus-inch hole.
That's why we need a plan.
That's right. Need a plan. You need to be soft. You need to be supple. Pearly, that was great. Thanks so much. That's going to do it for the On the Range segment. Come on back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. We are headed to the front nine.
Quick note. We just got a call from our friend Joe Schieser at USA Mortgage. He said the rates are still below 4%. And if you mention Golf with Jay Delsing, he'll give you a discount on your closing costs. Please call him today at 314-628-2015.
I want to tell you about a strength training fitness program that helped me and that can help you. It's called 20 Minutes to Fitness. They have 2 locations, one in Clayton and one in Chesterfield. Every time you go to the gym with 20 Minutes to Fitness, you work with a professional trainer. They take you through specific machines and with specific exercises that are designed to help your golf game. We're talking about strength, flexibility, and those 2 components are huge to help you improve your game. Visit 20minutestofitness.com. Your first session is absolutely free. Get off the couch and get in shape. Do you folks know about a family-owned and operated jewelry business that's been in the St. Louis area since 1946? If you haven't heard the name Sutley before, well, you have now. They are the premier Hearts on Fire dealer in the metropolitan region and have been for more than 21 years. What's a Hearts on Fire diamond, you ask? It is the world's most perfectly cut diamond. The Sutleys are knowledgeable and passionate about your jewelry needs and are open 6 days a week. They will treat you like family and want to understand your wishes and desires. Their business thrives on developing personal relationships with you. Sutleys also strive to stay on top of the latest trends and fashion with amazing selection of designer jewelry from famous designers like Lagos, Zengani, Simon G, just to name a few. It's all done at Sutleys. Sutleys is on the cutting edge of the diamond business, featuring the lab-grown diamonds that can cost 30 to 40% less than a mined diamond. Whether it's a Hearts on Fire, designer or custom jewelry, or even the new and innovative lab-grown diamonds, let Sutley Jewelers take care of all your jewelry needs. I have known this family for 45 years. Go in and see Gary, ask for Gus, ask for Laura. It's a family business, and they are terrific people. They're located in the Lamp and Lantern Village on Clayton Road, just west of Highway 141 in Town and Country. You can also visit them at saettele.com.
Grab your clubs. We're headed to the front line on golf with Jay Delsing.
Welcome back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay. I got Pearly May here with me, and we're headed to the front nine. Pearly, we've got to give a little bump to Whitmore Country Club for sponsoring the show again. They were fantastic in our first year, and they're back again. There's 90 holes of golf at Whitmore. You get access to Golf Club of Wentzville, links to Dardenne, Missouri Bluffs, as well as 36 holes out at the Whitmore Complex. When Bummer and I did our exhibition last year, we had probably 200 people following us around. The golf course was in great shape. This is a club that gets used. The members really enjoy it. Had a great holiday season there this past year. There's a 24-hour fitness club in the summertime. The pool complex is huge. There's the kids club. And in the nicer weather months, they've got junior golf, junior tennis, swim teams. And then there's Bummer and the staff in the golf shop. They just do a great job. They run husband and wife tournaments. There's skins games. There's leagues, all sorts of different events that you just really can't go wrong there. There's something for everybody. The kids club I mentioned earlier, it's terrific. And these things are really catching on around the country. So go to WhitmoreGolf.com, ask for our buddy Bummer in the golf shop, and they'll do help you with anything you need. Bro, we're working on a resolution show here for 2020. Yep. Can you believe it's 2020, Bro?
I hardly cannot believe it, but it's right on top of us, and we need to be ready for the year. So what are we doing? We had three putt in 2020. That was our first segment. So this segment, what are we looking for resolution? Actually, Meet kind of inspired us to get one going here.
No, I love it, and we appreciate that. This is about relaxing. How can we get in that state of mind that's going to let us play our best golf? How do we do that? So the number one
I wish the heck I knew. That's always been a tough one for me.
I know. Number one, the first thing is going to be stay in the present moment, meaning I'm not worried about hole number 12 that I can't stand because I always seem to double bogey that hole, or it's got a lake on it, and I hit my ball in the lake on that par three, whatever. This is one shot.
Or how other people in my group are hitting their shots.
Right. This is one shot at a time in this present moment.
Yep.
And it's when you're in the present moment, it's not about what happened last time. That's in the past. It's not about how I might screw up number 18. That's in the future. It's right here, right now. I'm outside. I'm getting ready to play golf. And how am I going to play my best golf? And that's what we're doing this for.
So when you're going to be present, I'm sure you're going to talk about kind of pre-shot routine and just get into that. The rest of the world really doesn't matter. What's the lie of the ball? What's the situation? What am I trying to accomplish here, right?
Absolutely. And you got to make your commitments. And we talked about that a little bit earlier. Well, you got to stay with your commitments. You got to stay focused on what you're doing. That's we're going to tie all that in here. But the biggest thing is, wherever, it sounds like a Caddyshack, wherever you are, there you are. Yeah. It's, you know, I'm putting right now. I got to the golf course in plenty of time to warm up a little bit. I'm going to spend my 15 minutes on the range. Enjoy it. This is this is a great club somewhere, wherever you are, and you're out, you're not in the office. Maybe you're entertaining some business customers, and this is going to help your business. Let's just relax and enjoy what we're doing.
So be present, one shot at a time. Jay, talk about your pre-shot routine. When you play now, is it the same as when you played on tour? Did it evolve through the years? If you don't mind, start out with what is your pre-shot routine?
I absolutely will. I love it. I worked on my pre-shot routine with Bob Rutella. It took us all of about 3 minutes, and it was just something that made a lot of sense to me. I take my practice swings and everything away from the ball. I don't do a whole lot of that when I get into the ball. When I stand in that ball inside that like kind of magical 3 foot circle around the ball, I've got my shot already committed to. I know where I want to start it. I know what my target is. And folks, sometimes my target isn't the flagstick.
A lot of times on tour, it's not the flagstick.
Because they just make the hole location is ridiculous, and they're so penal, so there might be a little right or a little left. And I commit to everything that I'm doing. And then when it's time to swing, I'm working on my feel. So I'm going to get myself set. I'm going to take a look up at my target, a little shuffling with my feet, readjust my club behind the ball. One more look up, and I'm swinging.
So two peaks and a go.
How long would you say my pre-shot routine takes? You've seen it more than anybody.
Yeah, I never timed it, but not
way
very
less,
long.
Way less than 20 seconds.
Yeah, not very long.
Yeah, and I've done this with some of the students I've worked with and timed these things.
But the timing, I'm glad you brought that up. Timing of it, I mean, I worked with you and watched you when you were working with some of your students. You know, if it's a look at your lie, look at the shape, look at what you're trying to accomplish, and you've got 5 or 6 things you're trying to plug in, we want all this to happen in the same time frame. We don't want it sometimes to take 15 seconds and other times to take 30 seconds and other times to take 25 seconds, right? Just the rhythm of that routine, literally we would talk about all the time, is a big piece of this.
Bro, you and I both played basketball. Not at high level. We played high school basketball. We both loved it. Very competitive.
Oh, B League at UCLA too. Intramurals.
Oh yeah, yeah. That could be a whole other show.
That may have been higher than a lot of high school basketball.
I think so. We had some. We could tell some fun stories about that, but that's not a golf related thing. Well, we could do it anyway.
The golf team was playing.
Who cares? That's right. You remember when you'd have one guy shagging basketball for you, and you'd be out shooting, and we called it around the world. Mm-hmm. You could do whatever it is. You could do that. We didn't have a 3-point line when we played, but you could do that. And you remember when you got comfortable in that
the
routine?
Rhythm, baby.
There's the guy would rebound the ball, and one bounce it to you. You'd step into that shot, and the ball would be off. Mm-hmm. And there's a rhythm to that. Mm-hmm. And to me, putting when I'm putting well, it feels like that. When I'm hitting the ball well, it feels similar to that, but it's there's a general rhythm to this whole thing, and that's really important.
I love what you said a couple minutes ago about, you know, you kind of have two peaks and go in your swing, but I can remember too out there when it's two peaks and kind of a rhythm type of a thing, how you addressed it, you got your feet in there, and when there was rhythm throughout that, otherwise more than once I would kind of call you off going like, okay, there's a second half
there's
a peak in there.
There's an extra waggle in there.
There's an extra waggle in there. That's not okay.
And
it's
John,
not
when
okay.
I got really good at that, that felt like a massive issue for me where I was like, I can't do that. Holy cow, what did I do wrong? And you're like, you looked up when I was first developing it. I'd vary it a little bit, and that was completely wrong.
You're done. You're done at that point. And you can see the guys on the tour, the ladies on the tour, most of them do an excellent, excellent job of this. Because, guys, this is something we have control over.
Yeah.
In essence. We can't always control whether it goes the right height, the right distance, the right amount of curve. But we need to control what we can control. And this pre-shot routine and the rhythm of the pre-shot routine is absolutely a huge deal. And when I'm watching on TV, I'll sit there and be yelling at the TV. When I watch somebody stand over it, which I know is 1 or 2 seconds longer than they normally do, and I'm like, done.
Right.
Something else is going on here.
Right.
They're going to grip it a little tighter. Their putter head's not going to swing the same.
Pearl, it's indecision. What you're seeing here is indecision if they're varying it. And let's go to the second part,
okay?
The second component. Notice your setting, folks. If you want to relax, notice how beautiful the golf course is. Wait a minute. You're out of the office. Chances are it's sunny and warm. You're out playing golf, or at least it's, you know, better.
It feels like it because you're not in the office.
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
and we're lucky. We are lucky to get to play this game and be out there with friends or just by ourselves. You know, nature,
whatever it is. John, I felt like when I could hear the birds chirping, I was there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
There were other times where I'm like, what bird? What happened? What? You're like, they just blew that house up right behind you. I'm like, I didn't hear anything.
Plus, then you were in the arena. You were in your element at that point. That's where you kind of wanted to be and wanted to go. We had a buddy from college I talked to not too long ago who was kind of struggling with some things. And a question I asked him is, when's the last time you've even played golf? And he said, you know, it's been a year or two ago. I said, get out there today and go to a golf course, if nothing else, just to have lunch. Go walk across the practice putting green and go have a sandwich or something. Smell what it smells like to be out there, the atmosphere, the relaxed nature of kind of everybody more or less that's out there. It's kind of a sanctuary in essence. It's a place that I think you want to plug into as much as you can out there. Because if you're not plugged into all that, you're missing something.
No doubt. No doubt.
I missed it a thousand times.
Oh, Pearl, cutting the grass being cut smells a certain way, the dew in the morning, all that stuff. Absolutely.
Absolutely, plug into nature. That's number two. Number three, what do you got, Jay?
You got to work on your focus. And guys, you're playing golf, and let's say it's kind of a slow day. It's going to take you 5 hours to play. You don't have to focus for 5 hours. You've got to figure out how to get in and get out. Get in and get out. Okay, it's my turn to play. I'm ready to play. I made my commitments. I've made my practice swings. Get in there. After you've hit it, let it go.
And do your thing, not worry about what other people, you always want to get away from the results, but not worry about what other people are thinking, other people are doing, that type of thing. They got their own world that they need to work on. You know, part of this is the whole kind of ego thing relative to that is not be worried about that and be plugged into being present and being pumped up that you're just out there to begin with.
Yeah. So our three, we're going to recap our three. Yep. Stay in the present moment. One shot at a time. We heard that time and time again. We're at UCLA. The second is notice your surroundings. Appreciate the golf course, the beauty. There's gorgeous flowers around there. You might have a cocktail in your hand. It's just fantastic. And part three of that is focus. Drop the ego. You're out there to have fun. Enjoy the whole environment. Enjoy the fact you're fortunate enough to be playing golf today.
So that's a resolution to relax for 2020.
Absolutely. That's going to wrap up the front nine. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. Come on back. Pearlie and I are going to hook you up on the back nine.
The 100,000-watt blowtorch for St. Louis sports, driven by Auto Centers Nissan, home of the 30-day return. WXOS and WXOS HD1, East St. Louis, 101 ESPN.
I want to thank Whitmore Country Club for sponsoring my show, Golf with Jay Delsing. There's 90 holes of golf at Whitmore. If you join out at Whitmore, you get privileges at the Missouri Bluffs, the Links of Dardenne, Golf Club of Wentzville, and all the cart fees are included in that membership. There's no food and beverage minimums and no assessments ever. They've got a great 24-hour fitness center, a large pool complex, 3 tennis courts, a year-round social calendar that is rocking out at Whitmore. There's kids' clubs, junior golf, junior tennis, swim team available for your children. This is a family-friendly atmosphere, a wonderful staff, and you've got to go to the golf shop and visit my friend, Bummer. He is an absolute treat. Don't forget about their golf leagues, their skin games, members' tournaments. Bummer and the staff out of Whitmore are continually running cool and fun golf events for you and your family. Visit their website at whitmoregolf.com.
Urban Chestnut Brewing Company is proud to be an official sponsor of 101 ESPN's newest show, Golf with our friend Jay Delsing. Just like Jay, Urban Chestnut is born right here in St. Louis. With three local brewing and restaurant locations, you won't travel far to sample straight from the source. If you're heading out to the links this weekend, or if you're just in the mood for a classic German-style beer, grab a four-pack of our fresh, refreshing Zwickel Bavarian Lager wherever craft beers are sold. Urban Chestnut Brewing Company, St. Louis, Missouri. Prost!
We're halfway there. It's time for the Back Nine on Golf with Jay Delsing. The Back Nine is brought to you by St. Louis Bank.
Welcome back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay. I got my buddy John Perlis with me. And, Perlis, we are going to the Back Nine. And we're on our New Year's resolution for 2020 for your golf game. And component number three here is shaving strokes or saving strokes.
So we had three putts. Prepare to stay away from three putts. The front nine was relaxed, and now we're on shaving strokes. So where do we start, Jay? Where do we start with shaving strokes?
So the biggest thing is not assessing and not judging where you are. You're like, oh, my gosh, I'm three over par. I only have four holes left, and everybody to the person seems to have their game just crumble at that point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what's some ways to stay out of that? How do we get away from adding that up? I can remember playing in pro-ams.
Oh, my gosh.
Invariably, how many under are we? And I would say to them, it's not relevant. We are in this thing, and especially those scrambles, best ball, whatever the case is, we just got to go as low as we can go. Get away from what your number is. It truly isn't relevant. All we're trying to do is get that thing in the hole as fast as we can.
Well, Pearl, it's hard to answer that question without reverting back to parts A and part B.
Yes.
Here, you know, where it's stay in the moment, you know, and also stay relaxed. All of those thoughts, you guys, take away from relaxation. They take away from being in the moment. All of those thoughts only make it harder to do what you want and get what you want.
And you got to stay away from the judging. There's so many examples of, you know, adding up the score, judging what's going on. First of all, it's probably going to keep you in the doldrums. But there's other times, and I've watched you do this, you don't start out real well. A couple of the best rounds I've ever had in my life, I made bogey on the first hole. So you're thinking, oh, you know, how am I going to do this? And all of a sudden, you know, you go from there. So you want to stay away from that judging and get back into the game plan. And as you just said, the things we talked about the first three sections.
Okay, so I got to ask you, let's just make an example of the two best players on the PGA Tour for the last 20 years, 25 years, have been Tiger and Phil, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. Do you think they're assessing and judging where they are with their driver off the tee? Because
Phil wouldn't have been pulling his out of the bag for the last 5 or 10 years.
No, Tiger's the same way, right?
Yep.
I mean, we are talking about two of the longer hitters in the last 25 years and two of the more crooked drivers of the ball.
Yep.
Do you think that Phil's getting up there, and as he likes to say now, hitting bombs, even though they're in the left rough and the right rough, and he's caring about a swing?
Well, plus he didn't think about the previous one, or again, he wouldn't have that club in his hand.
Right.
You know, they always talk about that football season, talk about that with the defensive backs. If they're going to remember all those crazy things and the crazy calls and how tough all that is, you want a short-term memory, get into your routine, do your thing, no judging, and quit adding it up. There's plenty of time in the 19th hole to add it up.
No, that's exactly right, and we're going to get to that. Our fourth segment is going to be how to properly evaluate what you're doing, but we're not there yet.
Okay.
All right, so Pearl, number two is how do we avoid big numbers?
Whew. This hits home with me. It's another piece of business. It's a piece of kind of living life. How do you stay away from the nightmare scenarios? And how do you look at that? I think a little bit about it is understanding your game, playing to your strengths to the best of your ability. Yeah, your buddy may have just hit it over the creek or around the corner over the trees or something like that. If that's in your game and that's part of it and you're feeling it, do it. But otherwise, stay away from those big numbers. It's really tough to recover from triple and quadruple bogeys. You can recover from a bogey here and there and get into the rhythm of a round, I think, is the way to avoid the big numbers and playing within yourself.
Well, I will tell you this too, John. What I see is guys get to a par four or a par five, and they and gals too. I don't mean that in gender. It's not specific. And they automatically go pull out their driver.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, well, wait a second. This hole's 300 yards long, and it's tighter than – it looks like a bowling alley down there, and you're going to hit driver because it's just a club you hit off the tee.
I remember you telling stories about how much you played on tour, and I caddy for some, when you didn't hardly hit any drivers. You had some three woods going. That's back in the day of the one iron when people actually hit one irons. Yep. I went through tour school at PGA West and La Quinta Dunes or Mountain, whatever the other one was. I was not a long hitter, and I hit three wood the whole time. Actually, I hit three wood for 14 holes through that tour school because, again, I wanted to avoid the big number. I wanted to be in the fairway, and I just said to myself, if I'm in the fairway like most of the time, which I could do with the three wood,
yes,
how high am I going to shoot? I'm not going to shoot myself out of it. If I'm putting a little bit and get the irons going a little bit, I'm in the game. I think that's a huge, huge
Well, that's
piece of
also
it.
About some golf awareness too, John, right? Because you're standing there, you know the golf course is tough. You know the conditions, being the qualifying school, is difficult. There's a ton of pressure, and you want to stay in this thing. So you're going to keep the ball in play, and you're going to give yourself lots of opportunities. And hell, if the putter gets hot like it did, you nearly got your card.
And it, to your point, back to ego from the other section, it's hard to stand up there and not hit that driver, especially now, day and age, in the mentality. But I'll tell you what, if you want to avoid the big number, Jay, when are most of the big numbers made? First shot, second shot, or on the putting green?
Oh, my gosh, I'm going to say first shot.
Yeah, I don't know the statistics, but I would say absolutely. So keep it in play off the tee.
One of the things we want to talk about, too, and we've got a guest on next week. Hank Haney's going to be our guest, and he talks about eliminating the big miss. And one of his parts of that program are don't make one swing count for more than one stroke,
right.
Which means you hit a ball in the water, you hit a ball out of bounds, that one swing's costing you two more strokes.
Yeah. And there's so many times, you and I would talk about it when we go look at the golf course before the round. Yeah, you can sneak a driver between these bunkers out there at 310, or it's four times that wide, and let's hit a cut three wood or a five wood and get it in the fairway and say to ourselves, if we're in the fairway 4 days in a row from 175 versus in the bunker twice, the rough once maybe, the tree, sorry. But
yeah, you knew my game well.
But if we're in the fairway all the time, what are you going to shoot here? And, you know, we'd have that conversation. You're like, gosh, dang it, if I'm in the fairway,
I know,
4 days in a row on this fairly difficult par four, I don't really have a sense how I'm going to shoot over par. So I'm like, well, why don't we play from there then?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. And then the third component is stick with your plan, not your buddy's plan who's just made three birdies and he's feeling it and he's hitting driver on this hole because he's feeling it and you're kind of still, you know, looking for the rhythm of the round and looking for your touch and feel. And just because he's hitting a five iron on this par three, but you're thinking you need to hit some sort of fairway wood, you go to the five iron and dump it. See that all the time.
Absolutely. Sorry, stick with your plan. Stick with what your strengths are. Again, another football analogy. You hear them talking all the time. They went out there, they wanted to run the ball a certain number of times and pass it a certain number of times. And invariably, when the teams can stick with what their plan is, they've got a much better chance at having the patience to do that versus, boy, we're down a little bit, start throwing it, then they throw another interception, that type of thing. So, yeah, absolutely stick with the plan. And really, much of what we're talking about through all these different pieces here is developing that plan for yourself and keeping that plan simple.
Right, right. What we are trying to do here, John, it is uncomplicate this whole thing, right? And have a plan for your game. So come to the golf course at number one and spend 15 minutes on the putting green. I mean,
yep.
That's not 30 minutes and not six, 15. Mm-hmm. And then how do we get to relax? How do we stay in the present moment? How do I get to enjoy my golf game more? These are all the components that are going to help you do that.
Yeah, and sticking with the plan is absolutely going to help do that. I'm just trying to remember some times when we were out there. One of the plans we had all the time was if I could possibly help you take that extra club, especially early in the round, one of the overall rhythm of the rounds, feel of the round.
I remember
plan for
Tucson, especially in some of the earlier morning, you know, where it was going to be warm in the day, but it wasn't quite warmer. Taking that extra club was so beneficial.
Well, and I knew too, and obviously you agreed, if you're swinging full out at a 9-iron by the second or third hole, we could be in trouble. You're kind of getting that feel for it all day long and not. And again, you see the guys because the way TV puts it together. Yeah, sometimes they're really swinging away. But for the most part, these guys aren't hitting as far as they can hit it every single time.
No.
So get into that
especially with their irons.
Rhythm in the round. Play within yourself. Play to your game plan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, really trying to simplify this sort of thing and make it become almost second nature. And if you start, folks, if you start focusing on the stuff that we are talking about, what you're going to notice is you're going to stop focusing on all of this crazy.
How many swing thoughts have we given folks so far?
Yeah, all of zero.
Zero. And
right.
I'm pretty sure the last segment's not going to have any either.
It is not going to have
so
any
So it's really
either.
Not
There's
about
no
that.
Way.
It's
no.
just not about that. You
nope.
know, I don't know. When you work with Bob Rotella.
So Doc would say you could have one swing thought.
He would
give
you one.
He would
never give you one.
No.
He would never
nope.
give you one.
Nope. There's no way.
Yep.
Yep. It feels like a security blanket. But it really
yeah.
isn't.
No,
it doesn't work.
A distraction.
Yep.
yep.
It's more of a distraction. So, you know, go out and hit that ball around and think of yourself as what the hell? You're playing a sport.
So back nine, shaving strokes. Don't add your score up too soon. No judging. Absolutely. Number two, avoid that big number. Have a good game plan in there on how to accomplish that. I'm very much in agreement that really that big number often comes from off the tee. And number three, stick with your plan, which happens to have something to do with number two. And number one in the two previous sections that we talked about is absolutely have a plan and stick with that plan. And from round to round, day to day, you can refine that plan a little bit. You're not living with the one plan
The golf courses are going to dictate to you
some
that
of
certain
some
holes
of,
are going to be a little different. But yep. this is pretty general that's going to apply to all of your golf. Pearl, that's going to wrap up the back nine. Don't go anywhere. We're going to tell you how, in our New Year's resolution show, how to evaluate correctly. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. Pearlie and I are coming right back.
Doster Olam & Boyle LLC are a proud sponsor of Golf with Jay Delsing here on 101 ESPN. The firm was started in January 2015 by Mike Doster, Jess Olam, and John Boyle, three veterans of the St. Louis real estate banking, commercial, and corporate legal landscape. The firm was founded on the shared view that success should be measured by client and community satisfaction, not profits for partner. The firm's focus is on business, real estate, corporate, finance and restructuring, and succession planning. Since its founding in 2015, Doster, Olam, and Boyle have been involved in real estate, business, and corporate transactions with a combined value in excess of over $1 billion. For decades, Doster, Olam, and Boyle lawyers have been recognized as leaders in their practice areas by their peers. Doster, Olam, and Boyle, LLC. Extraordinary talent, ordinary people. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Are the words community, trust, and civic pride important to you? How important to you are those words when choosing who you'd like to do business with? If you're like me, then they are very important. Enter St. Louis Bank. These key words are part of the cornerstone on which St. Louis Bank was founded. This bank is locally owned, and these guys live in our community. Did you know there's a new group of leaders at St. Louis Bank? This new group has doubled down on their commitment to St. Louis, being more involved and getting to know any like-minded person that shares these same values. St. Louis Bank wants to build something big together. When it comes to trust and honesty, don't take my word for it. You'll have to see for yourself. Look for the new locations in Edwardsville opening March 2020 and one at Highway 40 in Hanley coming April of 2020. You can call them at 314-851-6200. Reach them at stlouisbank.com or stop by their current location on South Outer 40 in Town and Country. And remember, St. Louis Bank wants to move your business forward together.
Grab your friends, a cold one, and pull up a chair. We're on to the 19th hole on golf with Jay Delsing.
Welcome back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I got Pearlie with me. I'm your host, Jay, and we are headed to the 19th hole. Pearlie, we got to talk about a fine drive with Jay. The Dean team partnership has been great. The Dean Team Automotive Group. Dean Team's, first of all, a great family. I bought a car from Joe there last year. It's just been terrific. They couldn't have done any better. Brett and Colin were just personable. They did everything right. A lot of dealerships, Pearl, will tell you that they've, you know, got every sort of car you want. These guys do. They've got over 1,000 used vehicles. They've got Hyundais and Volkswagens. They've got Volvos. Their auto sport thing, which we'll talk about in just a little bit, their dealership is fantastic. They also have a customized golf division, golf cart division, where they can go and make these golf carts for you. So you've got to check out, for all of your automotive buying needs, you've got to check out the Dean Team Automotive Group. All of their dealerships are on Manchester Road. The new Volvo store is opened in Kirkwood. It's really cool. But the auto sports is spectacular. About $10 million worth of cars there. And it's, well, you and I are not the most savvy car guys, but man alive, they've got every single car you could ever imagine, between Rolls Royces and Porsches and Bugattis and Maseratis and Ferraris. They've got them all. They've got a Porsche 918 Spyder for $1.5 million. Anything you want, any car you could possibly think of, the Dean Team will, if they don't have it, which they probably do, they'll go get it. So visit them at DeanTeamAutomotive.com and shoot, tell them you heard it from Golf with Jay Delsing. All right, Pearl, we are on how to evaluate properly, our fourth segment in our 2020 Golf Resolution Show.
So properly evaluating your round.
Yes.
This is a big deal. This is a big deal because
I can also say that I was so bad at this when I...
Yeah, who wants to acknowledge it? Who wants to really have the awareness of what the heck the problem is? Because then we're going to have to go work on it.
I'd come off the golf course thinking that I needed a new driver, or I needed a new set of irons, and all I really needed to do is figure out how to... Well, I thought of a new caddy often. It's like, hey, me, can you come over and stand in for my caddy? But... What I really needed to do was work on my short game. It really was. That's what it was for
no
me.
Question.
It was 100 yards on end.
Well, okay. Short game, yeah, including putting. I mean, there was a couple of key aspects that we did learn late, but the old better late than never, because it did help you an awful lot to the end of your career, and even for now, just being able to enjoy the game more. Day in, day out, you've got a phenomenal idea and plan on your putting day in, day out, on your chipping and pitching. That doesn't mean they're good every day, but you know where to go, and you know it's not far behind when it's going to start getting good to excellent.
Okay, so one of the things, so we're going to help you figure out what's important.
Yep.
Okay, so that's a side note. The other thing that we didn't talk about that I need to talk about is figuring out your tendencies. Gigantic. What do you tend to do? And later in the round, you kind of get tired. You tend to overswing. So we've got to keep that in mind, all right, because that's a big thing.
That's a show.
It is. That's an entire show. Number one in our little of our subset here is, how many shots did I hit from 100 yards on end?
People will be blown away when
you
they hit
that. You will be shocked.
Yep.
You will be shocked. It's going to be... If you shoot 100, you're going to probably hit 70.
And why do we want to know that?
Because where we hit the majority of the shots is where we can try to figure out how to save some of these shots and lower our scores and improve our handicap.
Best players in the world are the best players from 100 yards and in.
No question.
Period.
End of story.
All the time.
Move on.
No exceptions.
Next. No doubt.
So that applies to us as well, for sure.
So you want to sit down at the 19th hole and have a cocktail, have a beer, grab a sandwich, whatever that is. How many shots did you hit from 100 yards on
it? Hey, and this evaluation takes a little bit of time. And you can make fun of this whole process. Do it with your buddies when you're in there having a beer or a sandwich or whatever your flavor is. But spend some time on this. It's so easy to save it on your phone now.
Yep.
Put some little spreadsheet together. Just keep it in some notes from round to round, so you can kind of get a sense. Because at the end of the day, that's how you're going to learn throughout the year whether or not you're getting better and whether or not your plan, your program is working, or you should tweak it and go to something a little bit differently.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Number two in this is going to be, what was the cause of my big number today?
So how are people even going to do that objectively and not say, oh, it was this? Maybe this might be one to ask your buddies, too. Why do you think I made that eight on that hole?
Right. Well, first of all,
an eight was more than one bad shot.
Exactly. A lot of bad decisions in
yep.
there, right? Okay, so that might be it. The other thing is take a look. Well, undoubtedly some of our folks are single-digit handicaps, and what is going to be, where is that tendency? Where did I make that double bogey? Why did I make that double bogey? Some days it's going to be really obvious. Oh, I hit a bad drive and went out of bounds. Well, there's my big number. I made that swing. Was it a bad swing? Was it lack of commitment with my mental?
Did I know it was going out of bounds before right. I swung at it? Should I have hit a different club? That's why we're saying take a little bit of time and really know the cause. Not that first level of cause, because I hit it out of bounds. Why'd you hit it out of bounds? What was the shot you're trying to play? As Jay just said, were you committed? Did you have the shape in mind?
Pearl, for me, when I played, if I did not have my mental commitment, we never, ever, ever judged my swing.
That's a great
point. We tossed it right in the trash can because it went in that category. Folks, put this in your briefcase under mental errors. I was indecisive. I was uncommitted. I didn't know what the hell I was even trying to do.
You and I
it's
talk
a
about
mess.
This. You and I talk about this all the time. Did you miss it before you swung?
Exactly.
So if you came out of your routine, if you came out of the rhythm of your routine, if you weren't committed, if you weren't properly relaxed, I just love what you said, Jay. It doesn't – don't think about it beyond that. You've already missed it.
Right. John, that is so crucially important. We cannot judge your golf swing. If you're standing up on that tee and all you're thinking about is the ball going out of bounds and you hit it out of bounds, it's not your swing's fault.
Or if you don't hit it out of bounds.
It's not your swing's fault.
That whole piece of – I can remember one of our goals was – how many times are we going to hit a shot during the day without being completely committed within the routine, et cetera? How many shots did we miss before we swung? That if you could, the days you got that right, we were going to be good to excellent
Pearl,
days.
I got so good at that towards the latter part of my career where I felt like I made so few mental mistakes. Early in my career,
I wasn't even under radar. Right, exactly.
No. Okay, and our last number three, Pearl, in this fourth section on how to evaluate property is?
Two takeaways. What did you learn from evaluating that round that you want to take away and work on?
Right.
And again, you can tell we're not talking about any technique, any form, any swing mechanics. What are a couple things that you take away? Maybe spend a little bit more time, not before the round per your program, but on a different day when you can just go practice from that 100 yards and in, something off the tee to get a shape that you can trust.
Hey, Pearl, how about if you're going to a golf course that has entirely different sand than the course you're used to playing? And you might go from a light, fluffy sort of sand to a heavy kind of almost like that river sand that we have so much around St. Louis. That's a gigantic difference. And if you don't get to spend any time practicing that before you come out and play that golf course again, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so work on those. Know what those takeaways, not five of them, not 10 takeaways. Don't beat yourself up. What's a couple things you can do to tweak your game plan? To work on your routine. You know, the beautiful part about working on your routine is you don't have to be at a golf course to really work on your routine either. You can do it at the office. You can do it at home.
Right. So let's wrap this show and our four segments up and put a nice little 2020 bow on this thing.
You got it, baby.
So our first was putting and how to avoid three putting.
Yep.
All right. Our second was how to relax and get you to enjoy the fact that you're out playing golf and to enjoy your game a little more. The third was shaving strokes off of your game and trying to avoid your big numbers, et cetera, sticking to your plan. And the fourth was how to evaluate properly.
Good stuff. Really good stuff. If people do this all year, keep refining it, it'll get easier as you go. At first, it's going to seem like a lot, even though we've only kept it, well, we're trying to keep simple. It's going to really flow. And come mid-season, you're going to really start seeing the results.
Hey, if you want to reach out to us, jay@jdelsongolf.com, send us a question. Send us any sort of a comment or something that you have on this. Pearlie, thank you for being with us, with me. Meat, thanks for trying to corral. It's kind of like putting one more frog in a wheelbarrow with Pearlie and I over here. We just keep on going. But thank you for doing that. And we're looking forward to being with you this year, St. Louis. Hit 'em straight.
That was Golf with Jay Delsing, brought to you by Whitmore Country Club. Tune in next Sunday for more from Jay, John, and the other pros and experts from the golf world. In the meantime, you can find all of Jay's shows at 101ESPN.com as well as at jdelsinggolf.com.